Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. We'll be getting back to the phones in a little while because, by golly, we need to. It's a Browns Therapy Monday and then some. And Freddie Kitchen's press conference coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We're guessing right around 1:30, so be with us then. Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read his work at brownzone.com. And he is Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're all right. Thank you very much. I went through some numbers early, and I'm sure you've seen the same numbers, and they're just downright ugly. In the final 13-42, the Browns did not run the football. And Baker Mayfield in that time was 5 of 11, sacked 3 times. Any thoughts why the play calling just was so
lopsided?
Flat? I'll go flat. I mean, if it had worked, okay, but it wasn't working. Baker was 5 of 11, 68 yards, and sacked 3 times.
Yeah, I wish I had a better answer for you. They were running the ball well early, and then when they get down 20-10, and we've talked about it a million times, guys, once a team gets down, coaches tend to, panic's the right word, but abandon what the game plan was and try to play catch-up. And I get that they were down 10, but the drive that sticks out is after the Terrence Mitchell interception. You know, they came out and they threw it, tried to throw 3 times from the Pittsburgh 30, only down 7 with 7 minutes left. Now, the first play was a good one. Baker made a nice throw. Landry couldn't hold on to the ball when the Pittsburgh cornerback, Hilton, knocked it away. Then they threw short to Kareem Hunt, and then Baker was sacked. But it feels like that was a chance for them to try to reestablish the run game. We know that the Browns struggled to protect Baker in a must-throw situation, and the way to avoid that is to run it. So, you know, that was a drive that stood out to me where they really had a chance to go back to the run because it had become a one-score game again. Before that, it was a two-score game, and it felt like Pittsburgh had the ball all the time. But I think if you're going to complain, that's a drive to complain about.
I'm going to ask you a plain and simple question. What's wrong with this team?
Wow,
what's wrong?
Yeah. I don't have a plain and simple answer for you, Andy. There's a lot wrong. You know, I don't think the coaching has been what it needs to be for a team as talented as the Browns are, and I do think they're talented. You know, they were much more talented than Pittsburgh, at least on offense yesterday, and you wouldn't know it by how the game played out. I do think there's immaturity issues on the roster, and when I say that, it's multiple cases. You know, you had the Demaryius Randall being benched for something that happened during the week. And, you know, I'm not sure how big a difference he made in the game, but that's a distraction, and that's a guy you want on the field. He's one of your better players. We talk about the end-of-game brawl and Myles Garrett getting suspended. And whatever went into that, the Browns miss him, and if he had handled it better, he would have been on the field yesterday. And then you talk to just about on the field, where they get a 10-0 lead on the road in Pittsburgh. It's the chance to seize control and to change everything about the organization, right? To change the narrative, to change the fact that Pittsburgh's been beating you forever, to get that season sweep, to win on the road in Heinz Field, all that stuff. And they weren't mature enough to finish the job. And I think that speaks to where this team is and why they've been unable to meet the big expectations that everybody had.
Scott Petrak joining us. Baker Mayfield obviously had a tough game. There are a lot of factors that go into the play of every individual. But why is Baker not the same guy that we saw mainly in the second half of last year, Scott? What's going on? What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, you have to include Baker Mayfield, too, in what's wrong with this team. You know, I thought he had turned a corner. I thought he played well starting with that game against New England, coming out of the bye. And he had been doing a better job protecting the ball and not turning it over. And yesterday felt like a step back to me. And again, it's not all his fault, right? The protection wasn't what it needed to be. But Baker had a chance in the fourth quarter to lead a comeback, right? And that's what the best quarterbacks do, is they step up in those moments and get it done. And he had plenty of time on that last drive, and he just made a bad throw. They're down seven, they're on the road. He worried about his protection. But other quarterbacks do it. The best quarterbacks figure out a way in that situation. And Baker hasn't done that enough. So, you know, I'm not giving up on Baker. I think the last, whatever it was, four or five games, he'd shown the progress that I wanted to see, and I thought he was getting back to where he was as a rookie. But he hasn't been able to sustain it, and, you know, that's frustrating. And it's more frustrating given the talent around him. I mean, he has four big-time playmakers in OBJ, Landry, Hunt, and Chubb. And the fact that this team scores 13 and scores 19 against Buffalo, and we can go down the list, it's really confounding. And to go back to how this started, you have to look at the coaching as well. Why isn't the coaching able to take better advantage of these weapons and get more out of a guy like Baker Mayfield?
Does that change, or does that have to take a wake up from the front office to say, you better change? Or can you envision that changing? Because, I mean, we've seen it before earlier this year where we were questioning whether they weren't running the ball enough and a lot of things were going on. Can you see a change over the last four games of the season, or whatever we have left here?
What kind of change? You mean?
Yeah, I mean, just like a change in the way they approach things. A change when we come back the next day after a loss, we shouldn't be sitting here saying, well, we did have a running back that was carrying the ball over 6 yards per carry. Why didn't we use him? I mean, I just don't – like, there's just so many things that have been blatantly obvious to everybody, and yet for some reason in Berea, there's a bubble, and I guess the bubble's good if you want to keep out the noise, but, man, there's a reality to some of the stuff that they're not doing that drives Browns fans nuts.
Sure. Well, I definitely think there needs to be, and I'm sure they're having them, I would hope they're having them, some really difficult conversations. And it's John Dorsey to Freddie Kitchens, right? That's a conversation that needs to happen. They need to be in a room, and it needs to be about everything, right? About Freddie's demeanor, about Freddie's choices, about T-shirt, and then about play calling and player usage and Odell Beckham needing to be more involved. And what happens when you're up 10-0, and how does that turn into 20-10? And why you're throwing the ball with 16 seconds left from your own 30-whatever-yard line at the end of the first half. I mean, all these things factor into what goes into being a head coach, and I think John Dorsey needs to have those discussions with Freddie Kitchens, and he needs to get answers that he considers satisfactory, because to me that's a huge question mark moving forward, is does John Dorsey and this organization trust Freddie Kitchens to get the most out of this roster, which did not happen this year, or at least has not happened through 12 games this year.
Scott, that's, I think, a point you can't even argue. I think you're right on the money there. But I was just going to ask you, if you look at just what happened this season, there's no way that you retain this head coach. But we've done that so many times here in this town. The key to, look with Pittsburgh, it's continuity. And it's sure. Building something. And that's what they have to figure out, is what you just said. Is this the guy moving forward? And if you didn't think there'd be a learning curve for him, well, then shame on you. If whether you're in the front office or your ownership or you're the players or you're the fans, of course there's a learning curve. But I wonder if they think there's enough upside to justify bringing him back, when clearly the body of work this year, I would think, screams different coach.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff, and I think that's obviously the biggest decision is going to need to be made. And when you talk about learning curve, yes, most people have learning curves.
Sure.
Right? And it includes head coach of an NFL team. The question is, do you feel like this coach will learn from his mistakes and will learn from what he went through as a first-year coach? And that's what John Dorsey and the Haslams need to determine. The struggles are explainable. It's, do we see progress? Do we feel comfortable that next year he won't do the same things again? And I don't know if I can answer that through 12 games. I'm not sure John Dorsey can, but that's the question he has to ask himself. And it's, number one, can he learn from his mistakes? Number two, now we have a larger sample size with him as a play caller. And it's not just the 8 games at the end of last year. It's, do we trust him as a play caller? Because that's one of the reasons he was hired in the first place. And then it's, does he have the trust of this locker room? Do the players believe he's the right guy? And if they don't, is there any reason to believe they will next year? Because if that's not the case, then he's not the right guy for the job. Because you can't go into next year with the players doubting if the head coach is going to keep them from reaching their potential and getting to the playoffs.
I also wonder if you're the owner of a team and you're sitting and you're looking at Odell Beckham Jr. and you're saying, what's he get, like $14 million this year? I'm paying $14 million for this? I mean, that's got to be – I'm trying to remember. What is his deal? Whatever it is.
A lot of money.
Yeah, it might be more than that. It might be 17.
Yeah, it's actually 17. I'm sorry. I'm paying $17 million for this? Why can't we get my guy the ball?
I mean,
we're sitting here, and the season's almost over. I mean, it's over if you're thinking about postseason. But I'm sitting here, and I'm wondering what's going through Jimmy and D's head right now. Like, I wonder what they're thinking about what's here now. And part of it makes me think that it's a little bit of patience, because I just remember Jimmy saying in the beginning of the year, we do have a very, very young team, and this may not be as easy as you all think it's going to be.
That's true. I think the things that go through the Haslam's head are the same things that go through fans' heads without the money issue, right?
Right.
I think they look and go, man, how do we blow that lead? And what's happened to Baker? And where the heck is Odell? Like, I think those are the questions. And, man, if Miles were out here, would that make a difference?
Yeah, that's
true, too.
If
Marius were playing, would that make a difference? Like, I'm sure they think of all those things, and they wonder, risk-reward-wise, why are we throwing the ball 60 yards down the field and leaving Baker open to get taking a shot and hurting his hand. Now, maybe that's fluky, but the whole end of that half felt disjointed, and it's not the first time we've questioned end-of-half decisions. So think that all that goes through your head, and yes, patience is a virtue, and yes, stability is key, and continuity is key, and I've been preaching that for a long time, but you have to have continuity in the right guy. Right? The Steelers have had continuity and they had faith in Mike Tomlin. And it was rewarded because he's a big-time coach. Now, if he turned out to be, and just because this is the first name that pops in my head, Hugh Jackson, then that patience would not have been rewarded. Right? So you have to have the right man to have confidence and faith in. And I'm not saying Freddie's not the right guy. I'm just saying those are the decisions that John Dorsey and the Haslams are going to have to make, because with this roster as talented as it is, there's no way they want to spend a second year to determine if Freddie's the right guy. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to waste a second year if they're not confident in the coach.
Scott, thank you, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy your therapy Monday.
Hey, appreciate it.
Yeah. Scott Petrak, Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.